Hear me.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're again grateful for your manifested presence, your love, Lord, your extended knowledge that has been given to us, vindicated form, and showing us that all things are now ready to come to the great wedding supper of the Lamb. We believe, Lord, that we have heard the shout, come on out, and to see the bridegroom. We believe that we have consorted with him and are so now doing, and the door is either shut or being shut. We believe, Lord, that this is that hour, and we know that the prophet, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. May we never get in her way. May we exalt her. Because thou hast exalted her, may we exalt anything that thou hast exalted. And also exalt thee above all that thou hast exalted, Lord. We know that that's going to have to happen anyway in the judgment. Whether we make it or not in the bride, there's every knee is going to have to bow, every tongue is going to have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of all, we believe we have the revelation of him being that, Lord. We believe that. Make it more real, Father. Bring it into everyday reality as never before. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. That was a very good short song service I had. I think I'd actually said cut it back 10 minutes, but you gave me 10 minutes. That's wrapped it up in 10 instead of 20. All right. Now, I'm going to speak on the masterpiece again, from some notes I've sort of written up here. And at this point, it's Rapture Masterpiece number 7, and I will not be reading any scripture just for the moment, because there'll be plenty of scripture to be read. Now, in the Message Masterpiece, Brother Branham basically speaks about three masterpieces that God has produced. Actually, two have been produced, and the third one is in production. Number one, he produced Adam, beginning the human race. It was a masterpiece that he produced. He produced Jesus, who is the Christ. And he's now producing a bride. Now, each one, according to Brother Branham, was in the image of God or reflection of God himself, and each one was marred. And he took this from the illustration of the statue that Michelangelo made concerning Moses. And he talked about that what this statue was really a reflection of what Michelangelo had in his mind. And that's true, because nobody else would have in his mind exactly what Angelo would have in his mind. Now, a lot of people might come by and say, now, look, I think it ought to be this way. I think it ought to be that way. And he'd say, now, just a minute, it's not going that way. It's going this way. And after he had got a certain amount done, it's certainly no doubt that someone came by and said it should have been this way. And that's what it was meant, but it turned out this way. Now, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how people talk about God. They don't believe that God was the great masterpiecer. Now, the masterpiece that Michelangelo made out of that piece of marble was not the great thing. The great thing was Angelo. Now, the production, of course, was magnificent and is magnificent. We won't argue that. We won't argue that it was a reflection, that it was something that had to come from somewhere, and bypassing materiality, it came from the wisdom and the talent of that artifactor, that great sculptor. And that's what you got to say about it. You can't go beyond that. You understand, he didn't call in the neighbors, and he didn't consult with his wife. I hope you caught that point. The wife is the bride. And that's why I often say, shut up and sit down. Now, he never says that to lovely bride. Just leave Ada. He gets a little excited. You know, he says that not to tell anybody to shut up and sit down. I would not say that to anybody, I don't think. Or I haven't really at this point, but it could come. Knowing my nature. That's to let all of what he's saying here in the scripture, let all the world be silent. You see, God has always said, stand back, be still, and watch. So this image that Michelangelo brought forth into view, we're seeing the same thing Brother Branham using as an illustration or a basic illustration for the three great masterpieces that come forth, which you mentioned. Number one, Adam, beginning the human race. Number two, Jesus being injected into that race. And number three, now bride being taken out of that race. All right. There is, however, one thing we must notice about God's third masterpiece that you wouldn't pick up by yourself, really. You'd have to be in the realm of a prophet, and Brother Branham, being in the realm of a prophet, got a vision of this masterpiece. And he had a vision of the bride wherein she came into view for a preview. In other words, he was showing something that would give him the ability to identify what would come on the scene at the end time. And Brother Branham said in the view and the preview, she was identical in both cases. Now, this vision of his tells us something. It tells us that whatever God said about the original bride would have to be in the Word based on the Alpha and Omega precept. And remember, it's out of the masterpiece that we found our precept, which is one of the greatest precepts in the Word of God. It's been overlooked by the great scholars. It was never even enunciated that way by Brother Branham, who simply followed Larkin and said, now when you study your Bible, you cannot take it out of context. It's got to run in continuity. You cannot take one scripture and place it with another scripture that doesn't belong to. He just followed Larkin. I don't even know William Branham was aware of the laws that he was laying down. Well, I believe he's aware of them. Maybe just so humble that he threw a lot of people off by steering them to Larkin when the elect will come right to the prophet. Personally, I don't care 2 cents about Larkin. Larkin, you know, that's all right. You can be a Larkin, you can be a sparrow kin, you can be a partridge kin. I'm not running the guy down. He's not my kind of a bird. I'm looking for the eagle kin. That's fine. But Brother Branham gave us this understanding of the Alpha and the Omega concept. So what then was in the beginning as a reflection would have to come at the very end time. What that bride was in this hour that we started our seven church ages, back to about 53 A.D., 54, 55, somewhere in there, whatever, Paul came on the scene and gave us the fantastic revelation. We would have to have an understanding and a model in that bride, and then we'd have the same thing at the end time. Okay, let's get our wires uncrossed instantly by going to the scripture, which I'm going to, as my understanding, would be on this portion. Would it be Ephesians 1, the third verse beginning? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ according. Have you chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world? Now, right off the bat, you are going to notice something here that, and I think this is sort of maybe helpful to us if we can get our thoughts on this sort of brought together. I don't know. I'm just going to try to talk and see where I go from this point on in this little, this area in the next few minutes. Now, I'll just read it again so you get the idea. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, I don't believe that opened up God so that man could walk in as a creation of God and simply take over. I don't believe that God ever thought in His mind to delegate us any authority whereby we would ever take precedence over God. It's just like I say, God could have trillion times trillion of a true born-again believers, and He's the Father of all of them, and not all of them together make the Father. So, whatever formulated in God's mind way back there before the foundation of the world, and that's the secret then. From before the foundation of the world, there was something concerning us and concerning the world. You follow what I'm saying? It wasn't something on the throne. Because at the end, the pillar fires over the throne, the Lamb is over us, and we're sitting right down here plumb plain. Remember, Brother Branham, a man had a vision. And he saw Brother Branham way up there in a circle of light above a hill, or going up a mountain. And he scrambled right behind Brother Branham, clicking his toenails in to get up there upon the crag. When he got up there, Brother Branham's up higher again. Well, he was going to scramble up where Brother Branham was. And Brother Branham in the vision, or the big dream, looked down. He said, listen, I want to tell you something, Leo. It's predestinated who gets up here. Don't you start trying. Now, we're right back again to the thinking God's mind. Nobody ever told God anything.
And nobody's going to tell God anything. Now, that's what we're looking at here now in this bride. There is something here concerning this masterpiece that he had a vision in, which was relative to the earth. And you're going to find, as we see Scripture, that this earth is pertinent because it's reformed, is revitalized. That man is pertinent to the earth because he is reformed. He's recreated. Okay. Now notice, in relationship to the world, we should be holy without blame before him. Now, that hasn't been yet. Man's messed himself up and everything else up. He's ever got his hands on. Having, in love, having predestinated us unto the placing of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he has made accepting the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he is abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ in the dispensation of fullness of times. In other words, when it's all worked out upon earth here, and the whole thing is tapered off, he's going to gather together in one all things in Christ, exactly what he saw in the beginning of his own vision. God had visions. Oh, I know people might not like that. If I sit down, don't mind that. I may get up again, too. But I got enough stuff in me to make me dizzy up here, so I got to stumble through this the best I can, one way or the other. Now, God had visions. And in these visions, they were nothing but visions. Well, that's right. You can have visions with, they call them daydreaming. An architect has visions. What he puts on paper, he's got a formula in his mind. And notice that all comes from nature. If it doesn't, he's worse than Hogan's goat for being messed up. You can't make anything ethereal down here. Why do they call people just think about dream castles and air castles? Because when it comes time to put them into reality, they ain't got no more chance than a, you know, hog has, you know, flying. Outside someone hits him hard enough and then he'll fly. So look out for your dreams. Oh, I could be real nasty just about now. I might as well be nasty. We're not Mohammedans, you know, to have harems like some guys. Just let that drop in. And take it any place you want. You better know what you're in the Word and where you're at in the Word and see what God allows and doesn't allow. God doesn't allow anything outside the Word. That's just thrown in for good measure. All right, the dispensation, the fullness of times he might gather together and want all things in Christ. That's where it was in the beginning. That's where the daydream started. That's where the dream started. Brother Brown has said, I wanted to have fellowship with my son. He was only in my loins. Where is he before then? Well, had to go. If he's going to be in this, he's going to have to be way back there in the vision. All right. And if prophets type God, you tell me who had more visions than prophets. So God had a vision. Okay, here's his vision. He might gather together all things which are in heaven, which are on earth, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. There's your masterpiece. Now, when they saw Michelangelo's statue, they had to agree that when Angelo struck and said, speak, he had every right to say that. Well, they said, I'll tell you what. If I got carried away, and I wouldn't be carried away if I'd ever made anything that good, and someone didn't come by and really loudly praise that, or I'd get carried away myself, there'd be something wrong with me. Now, this is what we're talking about, where man gives back to God only on the grounds of what God gives to man. Now, man's going to give God great glory here. To the praise of the glory of his grace. That means that grace started way back before you even sinned. A lot of people have an idea that God just worked as emergencies came on down the road. And when poor old Adam sinned, he said, well, I got to do something about that, don't I now? So he called two more gods in and they began to discuss it. You talk about a bunch of tripe. He knew what he was going to do. Grace before the foundation, before there's a speck of stardust. The great dreamer. The great architect. Had already got it worked out. Don't you worry, brothers. There's no weak trusses in God's buildings. Right now, a chain is as strong as its weakest link. That's you and me messing around. But that hasn't got a thing to do with the tabernacle of God and the building of God. There's not one bit of hodgepodge there. All right, now that's the reflection. The materialization of that reflection I've read many times, so I'm not going to read any more than just barely glance at it, just to start you off and tell you where to go to reading it. Revelation 21, 9 to 12. And then one of the angels that had the seven vials came and said, cock to me, come hither, I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me in the Spirit in the great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. What having what glory of God? Oh, you say, I think it was shining. Well, I don't doubt it was shining. Oh, I don't doubt that at all. I don't doubt that it was fantastic. But what is to the praise of the glory of His grace, the bride? So what is this city? This city is a city descending already populated. How many ever saw a city come down whole? Why, the best they can do to set a type in the 20th century is you bring a lot of these modules in. Oh, fat, you wouldn't give me one of those cruddy things on a gold platter. Not that they're not doing a pretty good job. Modules. In other words, man can't do anything with a plug nickel. Even then, he's got to make a foundation for his hokey stuff that he produces. But God brings the whole thing down. 12 foundations. You talk about the glory of God. A city already inhabited. Like a light, her light was like unto stone most precious, jasper, clear as crystal. No temple for God Almighty, and the Lamb are the temple of it. City has no need of sun, neither moon to shine. The glory of God lightens, and the Lamb is the light. The nations of them that are saved walk in the light, and the kings of earth bring their glory and honor to it. You talk about a bride that's something. Millions out there bringing their glory, and all the foolish virgin, all the heathen that never had a chance. All of Israel's blinded, no doubt. Multiplied millions, for all, could be billions out there. I'm not going to sell anything short anymore. God wants to reduce the bride to two members and him running to a bride, and that's fine by me. If he wants to expand the bride to 20 zillion, that's fine by me. If he wants to have 16 people outside working like mules, they won't. Of course, that's fine by me. If he wants 60 zillion out there working or doing, that's fine by me. I just see no end to it. I just see God. There's no end to God, so therefore what he has, there's no end to it. In other words, there is no extent to its potentiality. It's limitless, but never becomes God. It just keeps reflecting God, shining forth God, manifesting God. All right, that's what we're talking about. Okay, now Ephesians 1 is the view of God's great plan. And what I read here, when there's no abomination, only those written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there's a big river of pure water, life clear as crystal, proceeds out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the middle of the street, the tree is on both sides of roots, yielding its fruit and so on. There's no more curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in it. The servants shall serve him. And they'll see his face and his name will be in their forehead. There'll be no night. No need a candle. No, you won't need to try to light anything to get something there. And they'll reign forever and ever. All right? What you're looking at there now is what is about to break. Now, it can't break because we're not there yet. There's a certain group of people inhabit that. It's a marred people. We'll talk about it. Now, here's what we want to notice. It is always God fashioning after himself, reflecting himself, imaging himself, And it is always through his family, the human race, and the human element that we're dealing with. We're not dealing up there in the heavens. You know? That's why even if there's just symbology where the Lord himself shall descend with the shout, if that's just symbology, that's fine by me. Put it to mention anything you want. But I'm going to tell you one thing. That God's got to work right down here in this dimension. Because this is where the action is. This is where the going on is. So when Brother Branham talked about God starting redemption down there in the garden, we'll talk about it. He came down himself. Where was he before? I don't know where he was before, and I care less. I'm through with these theological things. There's only one thing I want to know is the prophets have always looking back, always looking forward. What's going on? So I'll agree with anybody. See, well, he always was here. What was he doing up until now? Because he's changed what he's doing because he's a pillar of fire here amongst us. These guys make me sick. What if I'm right? Am I supposed to compromise for them? Now, I don't ask them to compromise for me. No way, shape, and form, because I could be wrong. What does it matter if you bend for me? Bend yourself into a pretzel. The more bends you do, the quicker you'll break your back and die and go to hell or heaven. One of the two, so bend all you want. The point is, what have you got to take you to heaven or hell with? So what about your bends? Ain't going to do nothing. We got to get the idea God is always fashioning after himself. Imaging himself, and it is always through his family, the human race. Now, let's go back to the garden. Number one, the first masterpiece was Adam. So we go back to Adam. 1:26 to 28. God said, let's make man in our image. After our likeness. Well, that's just God talking. He didn't mean that, you know. I don't care if Adam and Eve would have come forth with four legs. We're not dealing here in an image of God as though it had to be an image that's got hands and feet and arms and everything else, because God is spirit. Although God speaks himself as having arms and legs and everything else like the pertinences we do. The image we're talking about here is Brother Brandon placed. It was a spiritual image. He made a spirit form to begin with. But above and beyond that, it was what came from his mind, and it imaged God because there wasn't anything else to image. You go to Adam. Who did you have to do with Adam? Well, let me see. That's a jolly good question. Well, let's see. There were the seraphim. Yeah, he said, they're a pretty nice bunch of people too. Yeah, I remember the seraphim. And there were the cherubim too. He said, you call them cherubim and different. Yeah, that's in the angels. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then he said, before us, you know, there's a whole lot of animals. He said, they had a lot to do with it. Can you believe that tripe? See, Adam, where'd you come? He came God. What do you mean came God? I was in his mind. I was in the plan. Before there was a speck of stardust. So I don't care what Adam was made of, and I don't care how he got here. It had to come from God. So therefore, he had to come from the mind of God. He had to be an image. An image of what was in the mind. And God never got that image from anything but God himself. I say, God, if I could talk to you, where did you get it from? Now, the Gnostics, they're stupid. We ought to get the book, The Gnostics, sometime. They followed the time of Paul. I guess they argued with Rhenius and everybody else. And they went way off on the Word. They couldn't understand Logos. The meaning was the Word. The Word is with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. So they have this one that was with God in the beginning making everything, and one day he gets all puffed up. And he's writing the Bible here, and he says that there is none beside me, I made it all. And a female voice thundered him, you stupid, lying fool of a jackass. We made you, I made you, now you try to throw me off. Well, you know, that's my language, a little bit rougher in the book, but that's my language. It's just as good as the books any day. That's the gnosis. The gnosis is where you know something. That's the way people treat this mystery of Brother Branham. Oh, really? No, you mean something. If I treat the presence that way, I ought to be shot before dawn. And I will be too before I'll get mine on Judgment Day. But it's an open, shut case of what it's all about. He's here. He said he was. And he's here in a way he wasn't with Luther. because the token could only come at evening time. Said he couldn't come here. They looked for it. You Lutherans potentially had it. So that's the baptism with the Holy Ghost. They didn't have what's going on now. So God, he said, God made Adam his image after his likeness to have dominion over fish of sea, fowl of air, cattle, over all the earth, every creeping thing. So God created man in his own image. After the image of God created him, male and female created him. Now, do you think God's male and female? Now, people try to make him male and female. They say, well, you see what it is. You see, the Holy Spirit's female.
Oh, boy, I've heard a lot of stuff in my life.
They say the Greek and the Hebrew puts it that way. I'm with Brother Branham. They argue the Greek and the Hebrew, and they'll always argue, and they'll go to hell arguing it, too. What's the divine revelation? All right, he blessed them. You go be fruitful, replenish the earth, multiply, subdue it, have dominion. And do so and so and so and so. All right. Second chapter, 7th verse. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now here's where the earth comes in. What he formed the spirit out of, he must have made it. Like he made angels and things. Formed man of the breast of the ground, breathed the breath of life in his nostrils, became a living soul. Brother Brad said that was the Holy Ghost. All right. 21 to 25, and God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept, took out the rib, sealed it up, made a woman, brought her to Adam. Adam said in 22, this is my bone and my bone, flesh for flesh, she's called woman because she's taken out of man. Therefore, man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. There'll be one flesh. In other words, he'll leave home, set up his own house. If he's a real kind of a man, he'll leave home, set up his own house. Now, some aren't gifted that way, but that doesn't hurt him any. As long as they devote their lives to God, not being a bunch of stupid jerk homosexuals or something else. Her mother boy jerks. Let's get it down pat. People twist this scripture. I understand them. Even twist this one. Get crazy ideas. They're both naked. The man and his wife were not ashamed. All right? Notice. The second chapter. 8 and 9. Lord God planned the garden Eastern Eden. Put the man who informed into it, gave him every pleasant and good tree, pleasant to sight for food, and everything else was in there, right there. All right, Brother Branham said he made a masterpiece from his own thinking, from his own mind. He had the destiny, the whole plan all lined out there, and he put him in the garden. That was the pedestal. He put him in there. Then came the fall, came the marring. In Genesis 3, 8 to 13, it tells you how that he confronted him. And you'll notice in there that they began blaming each other. And then notice in 16 to 20, the marring of the human race. Further, out of the woman he said, greatly multiply your sorrow. With thy conception, not sorrow and conception, thy sorrow with conception. The word ends should be with. Preposition. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. That desires to be thy husband, he shall rule over thee. Adam, he said, because you aren't the voice of your wife, eat the tree of the wrong tree. You're going to eat the ground is cursed for your sake. Sorrow and sorrow eat all the days of your life. It'll bring forth thistles and brambles and so forth unto you. And to get the herb of the field... You'll have to get it through sweat. Now, for out of the ground thou was taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. Now, notice in there, the masterpiece had to be made out of earth. For the journey from it into it, and out of it again. Out of it, into it, out of it. Never to return. But the original blueprint was in the mind of God, and the original fabrication was in the realm of the Spirit. Now, you notice in here that it is marred, and the human race is marred. But notice there's a promise in chapter 3, 14, 15. The Lord God said to the serpent, because I've done this, you're cursed above all cattle, of every beast of the field. Upon your belly you go and dust it all the days of your life. Now, in other words, he tells you right here, this one will never get beyond the dust stage. Never will. This one just had to return to come out. But this one won't get beyond the dust stage. In other words, even in the second resurrection, have a body that's for destruction, leaving neither root nor branch. And it said, there's enmity between you and the woman, thy seed and her seed. It'll bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Why? Because we got a type in here of a husband and wife picturing God, because man's the head of the woman. Christ's the head of man, God's the head of Christ. We're looking at a type here. Now he said, that's how it's going to be recovered. Here's a promise given to it. But Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, is Galatians 3:16 to 18. Not Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he saith, not as the seeds of the many, but of one is thy seed, which is Christ. And I say this, that the covenant was confirmed before God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after it could not disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Now, what inheritance are you talking about? You're talking about the inheritance that we have when all things are gathered into the bride, which were foreordained in materialistic concept way back there in his mind. Now it says right here, it's going to come, the seed of the woman is going to come through a certain race, starting with Abraham. Now, that's why Brother Branham said, the seed of the woman, or Jesus the Christ, the second masterpiece, comes on the foundation of the patriarchs. Original foundation was Eden. We get back for 1,000 years in a glorified form. And then that foundation is transferred to Mount Zion. Take our foundation and come back. The foundation of Jesus the Christ is the foundation of the patriarchs. Because that's what he said. He built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. All right. Notice. He, the seed, is the promise of God made manifest in human flesh, which is God himself in flesh. That's why his name is called Emmanuel. He is Emmanuel. That's why we crown him King of Kings. When he's reincarnation, he'll be Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, everlasting Father, King David, the greater son of David. Call him David. The everlasting. Call him everything you want. Leader of the Valley, Rose of Sharon. 400 titles or better. Everyone is the same person. See? Notice this one, the second masterpiece, comes up a prophet. And all the prophets type him. Now, it wasn't just in the patriarchs that only gave the flesh. It was what lay also in the patriarchs, which were the prophets. And the prophets gave the word. And every single prophet was a type of this one to come. There was Joseph, hated his brethren, loved of his father, cast into a ditch, into a prison, taken sold for 30 pieces of silver first, put into prison, prophesied to two people. One lived and one died, like Christ on the cross, raised up to the throne. There was Moses, same line of reasoning, the prophet like unto me, who the Lord raised up. Jeremiah suffered. Isaiah was sawed up. All the prophets were rejected. They were marred. Over here in Matthew 23, and 34, we get the picture. Therefore, behold, I send to you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some you'll kill and crucify. Some you'll scourge in your synagogues and persecute city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom he stood between the temple and the altar. And remember, there no prophet could die outside of Jerusalem. They were predestinated to death. They had to die. They were types of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ is rejected and marred. But in the marring, he is given the authority of speech. Now you notice, due to the authority of speech, every prophet was marred. They hated him. They couldn't even take the best of them. Poor old Samuel comes by and he's just as nice as any man could be. and he's a nice man to everybody, and he finds this for that guy and finds that for the other guy. And he said, did he ever abuse you, ever take their money, did he ever tell you anything wrong? Oh, no, no, but give us a king. Well, he said, you got to be a little bit ridiculous. Here I am, a prophet with a pillar of fire. You're being led by God. God is in me. Here I am, here flat. They said, now, look, you're a nice guy, but get out of the way. Now, they didn't butcher, but they might have well. They wounded the poor old fellow's pride so much, and God said, well, yeah, I know they wounded his pride because God said they have not rejected you, they rejected me. He must have really felt terrible. There wasn't one that wasn't rejected and marred. There wasn't one. So, and they were marred because of an authority of the word. See? And the word that was coming, which was not only in human flesh, but was word per se in human flesh. These other fellows just had a word or two. All right. Now, so Christ is rejected and marred. But in the marring, he is given the authority of speech. Now we're going to go into that. Now you see, he was a man. Jesus Christ was a man. He was a prophet. Come right through the patriarchs. Come right through the right tribes. Come up through Judah to be a king. Couldn't come by Levi because the priesthood gets changed. Because the priesthood is going out. He's going to fulfill the Levitical priesthood and go up there, as it were, offering the blood like a Levite does, because you never saw blood offered under Melchizedek. No, sir. Mm-mm-mm-mm. You saw emblems. You saw wine and bread. Jesus goes up with his blood. He said, what about the bread? Took his own body. What do you expect? See, no problem. Now watch. He goes up there. He is marred. Now watch. If he were not marred, he could not speak except only for himself. Let's go to Hebrews, the 9th chapter, and see that one. Twenty-seventh verse, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Now, here's the thing. You couldn't take Jesus and die, make him die because he was sinless. There's no way. He's got to volunteer himself. Now, since he, now watch here, he cannot defend himself. There's no way he can do it. Because if he speaks for himself, then all he can do is stand guiltless for himself. Because the point of a man wants to die. After this, the judgment. Now let's watch this. Let's go to Genesis 3, 9 to 13, so you'll see further what I'm talking about. He said, Adam, where are you? I heard the voice in the garden, I was afraid because of naked, and hid myself. He said, who told you're naked? Have you eaten the tree which I command you, thou shalt not eat? And the man said, the woman you gave to me to be with me, she gave me the tree and I ate. Now watch him defend himself. Well, that's the best he can say. He said, turn to the woman. What about you? It's the serpent. He fooled me. Now he turned to the serpent. What about you? He didn't even ask him. He just threw the whole thing back on him. All right, you see here that Adam spoke for himself. Everybody has spoken for himself, and it doesn't do any good. So somebody has got to speak for us. And to speak for us, he has got to die. That's exactly what it is. That's why he's crucified before the foundation of the world. So by his death, he becomes our spokesman. Let's go over here to the book of Galatians, because that's what we're looking at. Galatians, the 3rd chapter. 13 to 15. Christ is redeemed of the curse of the law, being made a curse for us was written. Curse everyone hang on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. I want to read 20, now I'm going to start 19 first, beg your pardon. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because the transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, mediator is not of one, but God is one. Now, it tells you right there that it takes three people to form a company for mediation. Two that have offended each other, and one that isn't offended. And he comes between. He's a daysman to hold their hands and get the thing ironed out. Now, in this case, God has been offended. That's what the word justification really means. We talk about imputation and righteousness. It's to turn away the wrath of the offended one from the offender. Well, here comes God. He comes down himself and he mediates his own argument, resolves it by interposing himself, and that's exactly the word the Bible uses. He interposed himself and took away sin. Now, if he had talked, he wouldn't have done anybody any good. All he could do is say, I'm the one that you're looking for. Why? Where have I not fulfilled every word? Where am I wrong? Tell me one word I'm out on. Stood right before them. But when it came to the judgment, he could not open his mouth. He was as a lamb dumb before the shearers. He was marred, but in marring, he can talk. Because now he's the mediator. And he still gets between us and God. I'm talking about Jesus Christ the man. And I'm talking about the one that was in the mind of God, who was a portion of God turned into a sperm and an egg and put in the woman's womb. Not here in vitro junk. He's cotton picking so-called science. The doctors make me so sick I can't wait to burn long as they burn too, just about. That's the way it is. Everything is so rotten today. In a test tube, this and that. God wasn't in any test tube. He was in the womb of a woman. That which can be recognized of God as a man. He wasn't the same as Adam. Don't ever think he was. You got two races. It takes an absolute recreation to turn us into what he is. To be in his image. We're born in the image of the earth. You're going to born in the image that bear the image of the heavenly. What was it? We're getting right back to our theophany. The whole thing, brother, says you want to get it right down, nailed down. See? Did God take that theophany and put it in a sperm and an egg? I don't know. I'm not worried. Maybe he did. I don't get into these things too deep. You get puzzled when you get into them too deep. You get peripheral. You get peripheral vision. You're never head on. You hit the first car down the road. All right. He's a mediator. Also 3:13-15. Curses everyone that hang in the bond of tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Through Jesus the Christ. Brethren, I speak not after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant, yet it confirmed no man disannulleth or added thereto. Now to Abraham, the seed where the promise is made, he saith not to seeds as many, but as the one to thy seed, which is Christ. You notice in there? Now that's Isaiah 53, the brother Branham read for the masterpiece. Now we're going to go to Hebrews 12, and we're going to take a look at verse 22 to begin. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and even to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now notice the blood of Abel spoke. Where was that? That's Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a merciful sacrifice and came, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. By it, he being dead yet speaketh. Now what? By offering the blood, he is still speaking. So therefore, the bride cannot speak either outside of the blood. You see, I get a little bit upset when people don't understand the blood, and then people begin to run with things that preachers say they don't understand what the preacher is saying. Like soon as I preached on the judge, it got out amongst the churches out west somewhere, and somebody went around judging people. I said, where did you ever hear that in my sermon? Did you ever judged anybody? I said, this judge the word. That gives us discernment. The spirit of discernment came forth showing he, the word, was here, and we now under discernment can discern. Now, we're going to play a tape here one of these days. The spirit speaks to the prophet. You're going to really hear something what discernment is really about. You'll understand 14 points out of 15 when I spoke on discerning the Lord's body. Understand a whole lot more. You'll find out a few things about character and everything else the prophet spoke of. It's going plumb over people's heads because they're not even interested. I'm not talking about living out here godless lives. Listen, I'm convicted day and night of the things that I do. Even things I can get away with. Say, well, they're obvious. All things are lawful. Sure, it's lawful. A lot of us do lawful things. But you can be trapped by them. But all things are not expedient. David found that out. Back there in the good old days of polygamy. He got away with murdering, getting another woman, didn't he? He paid a price for it, too. All things are lawful, but you better be careful how you go about it. Now, the bride could speak, too, because of the blood. Now, notice that blood is still speaking. See, did you refuse not him to speak yet? You watch people try to take Hebrews 1 and say, well, that's all over it. The Baptist rest, well, it's all in here, it's all done. Is it? He's still talking. The same people say, well, he spoke to my heart. And he called, told me to ordain that lovely lady who'd been only married 3 times. We'd have kicked her out the 4th time, but the 3rd time we said, well, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. She ain't gone too far, so we'll let her go. You heard from God that kind of clap, trap, and balderdash, hogwash? Fact. You heard from the pit of hell. Ordained prophet come on the scene, you hear. And turn that down. See, you refuse not him to speak it. For it said, you refuse him to speak it. You turn away from him that's going to talk from heaven. How's he going to talk? Through a prophet. Going to shake the earth. And at that time, everything is going to get shaken down. Who's going to get shook down at that time? Well, the shakedown of the beast comes. He's going to have to answer to it all. And his shakedown starts. When that shaking down starts, our resolve and building up begins to come up to where we can get out of here. Our God being a consuming fire, pillar fire. We're going to receive a kingdom. He said, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God, except with reverence, and godly fear. How are you going to do it except by what he tells you? Tells you he's going to speak. Everything outside of that voice is going to get shook down. Everything going to get consumed outside of that voice. And how do you get your godly fear and your reverence? Except by hearing the voice. How does the voice come? By a prophet. She's got to follow in line. Okay, let's go back to, we're back, read Hebrews 12. All right. If he hadn't been marred, he couldn't speak. Abel marred as the first human type was allowed to speak through his blood being shed. The blood of an animal taking the place till the blood of Christ came on the scene. All right. Remember, he never opened his mouth. Jesus didn't in Isaiah or in the Gospels at his judgment. But after his death and resurrection, he spoke for us. For he said, when I come back from the dead, I'm going to pray the Father and he's going to send a comforter. I'm going to pray the Father and I'm going to be the intercessor. Whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. God hath made him both Lord and Christ. He said, here it is. He said, the checkbook is yours. Your name's my name. Everything is yours. Go ahead. He didn't say that to you and me. Said that to him. He has the right to speak. Nobody else has the right to speak. Now, there is something else Brother Branham brought to our attention. As Eve came from Adam, so the bride comes from Christ. And notice, all comes from God, starting back in John 1:1 and Ephesians 1:3-4. The beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by Him. Then it says He became flesh. What were we? How did we get here? By something that God made. Based upon something that was already in God that He didn't make. He just put it into perspective. Then began working a form out. All these things being in God. See, the whole plan of God is actually, the whole plan of God, the whole plan is of God. That's what it is. And actually is that imaging and reflecting of God. Brother Branham spoke of it. Not God as a form, but it is manifesting God's attributes through life. Divine and human, and in human flesh. Everything out here you can see is power in Godhead. But it's got to come to flesh and speak in order to register exactly as a revelation what He really is. Now, so what we're seeing here is what's in that great divine mind and the omniscience to bring it to pass. So God began to come into view in the human family realm in Genesis 1. He made Adam in His image. Then He planned it further to become more into view by mankind in Genesis 3 as the coming seed. That was the promiser becoming the promise. Sure. That was the promiser becoming the promise in a human form. Brother Branham said that Logos was above Israel, became a human form, fatherhood and sonship combined together. Then we see it goes through the patriarchs and prophets to Elohim in flesh. That's how it came. Just that word coming up word, describing, telling of this man coming. And when the man came, he was all just what the book said. And John the Baptist said, there he is, there he is. And he said, here I am, here I am. And they said, get out of the way, boy. He had to be marred. John had to be marred, cut his head off. Just got rid of him, slap dab like that. Took Jesus, died a horrible death. See? Now, then we see the bride form on the scene. And she is the body of Christ. That's right. God not in a single body, but in many membered body. And all members endowed to reflect something of God in His kingdom. That's right. All endowed to reflect something of God in His kingdom. We're talking about bride. Body of Jesus Christ. Anything else out there is like that out there. It's peripheral to a great degree. See, we subsist perfectly through Him and in Him. The rest subsistence will come literally through us, as it were, because they bring their glory into New Jerusalem. Why do you think God is just holding back now? Wait until all the weed seeds are perfectly ripe. The chaff has got to separate off from the wheat, too. Now they're going to reflect something. Now follow closely and keep in mind the evolution of these masterpieces. All are from God. All are in His mind, a part of Him. All are therefore Word. I don't care what you talk about substance. Now remember, we're talking about the original Word. Over there in Peter and in Jude... What is it, Jude? I never can remember. Anybody smarter here than I am, you start looking at your Bibles. Oh boy. I thought one time I'd maybe mark this where I might find it easy, but I always have a terrible job finding everything. Let me see. If it's Peter or not. I never can find the word anyway, but the word is it's either in Peter or in over there in Jude, where it mentions foreordained. The word foreordained means they were spoken of. They were not in the mind of God. They were not in Ephesians 1. They were adjuncts. It was known concerning them. Like Pharaoh never was in the last book of life or the book of the firstborn. I don't know if he's even in the book of life. Doubt it. There's lots that aren't. And those brought it out. genuine pure serpent seed like you never were in any book of life, period. I don't think so. I don't know. I'm not too smart in these things. I'm not about to try to find out. I don't know. But I want you to know this, that it was back there as word. And the form required for its manifestation is part of it, of the plan. But the predestination is nothing but a blueprint put into a form. So it's all word. Read again. Now follow closely. Keep in mind the evolution of these masterpieces. All are from God. All were in His mind. A part of Him. All are therefore word. From start to finish, it is word. The original masterpiece and the bride were marred by getting off the word. The Savior was marred to get them back on the word. That is true redemption. The Father word, in the form of the only begotten Son word, human flesh, brings back or redeems all the children words. See? The resurrection is the placing of them in their actual word authority as they were predestinated to be. Now the predestination has to match the blueprint. See? All right. We're a blueprint bride. You know what they do with the blueprint motors? Take them to a garage. A good blueprinter will pull a motor apart. He'll clean out all the air vents. He'll check every mic out, every single bit of tolerance that's required for every single piston or ring or or bearing, no matter what it is. And as long as you take care of that motor, short of a wreck, it'll go 500,000 miles or better. Unless there's something wrong with the stuff in the first place. Well, when God had a blueprint and redeemed the blueprint, you better believe it's going to go on forever. See, sure. That's what I'm talking about, the blueprinting. We've been blueprinted. Come by way of the blood and the Holy Spirit. Children of the resurrection. Back to authority. But as we said, the bride fell. She fell into the dust of denominations, or the dirty denominations, Brother Brand said. She laid there for 400 years until God anointed Luther, then Wesley, then the Pentecostal, and now it's Malachi 4 time. Malachi 4 time is to bring again Ephesians 1, 3 through 12. Now let's look at it. Ephesians 1, 3 through 12. I won't have to read it, just the 13, 14 verses. In whom you also hoped, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you received the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption, the purchase of possession, unto the praise, the glory, the grace. Now it tells you right there, the Holy Ghost runs out. It runs out at the time of redemption. And there is no such thing as anybody receiving the Holy Ghost and getting out of the ground by himself. Say, well, hallelujah, I've got the Holy Ghost. You watch me get out of here. Well, hallelujah, I'm going to watch you stay there. Because you ain't coming out. The Holy Ghost is only your identification that God will get you out.
Amen.
You won't stay in there. Now notice it runs out in that 14th verse. But in verse 15, it tells you the Spirit of discernment, wisdom, revelation, knowledge of Him, as taken from Daniel 70 week, the eyes of your understanding of being enlightened, you'll know the hope of His calling, not yours over here, but His. Now this over here is yours, this here is His. Now you better believe that's going to take a prophet. That's going to take a revelation that Paul didn't hand us, because Paul said that's coming. What is the riches of His glory and of His inheritance in the saints? And you know that's the name. And what is the exceeding great is the power to us who believe according to the working power which He wrought in Christ, raised from the dead. Now that hasn't been yet. Not yet, not yet, not yet. It took place once for one half of the first resurrection. It's got to take place for the second half of the first resurrection. But it was not known to Paul the Apostle. Now, remember, He said, because of this, your baptism, your understanding the mysteries to this point. Verse 15, wherefore I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. And there you are, faith and love. And I didn't put love ahead of faith. He put faith ahead of love. Because I don't care what kind of love you got without the revelation is going to go down. We'll be teaching on that if the Lord gives me strength this coming weekend. It's just awfully difficult to sit down and even study or anything anymore. Now, he tells you right here, there's coming this hour when he's going to raise the dead and set him in his own right hand in heavenly places with Jesus Christ the Lord. In other words, we're going to go and share in his throne, as Jesus said, at the end of the seventh church age in Revelation 3:20, he said, now he that overcometh, I'll grant to sit with me in my throne as I have overcome and sat down with my Father in his throne. Now that's not the mercy seat, that's the throne, because he took the book out of the hand of him that sat upon the throne, ripped off the seals, handed it back, the one on the throne came on down here, and Jesus got on the throne. That's souls in prison. That makes him fully 100% Melchizedek. Now, don't be scared about the blood, brother, sister. Don't be afraid. We're just talking about the king, priest, full before us as never before, fully revealed. Melchizedek, at the time of full meat. And Brother Branham said that Melchizedek came down to Abraham right here in the form of a man. It was that same one that came down the form of a man, and he's got that ministry right now. And he let us know, he said, as God came down before Sodom and Gomorrah, that same one that he called Elohim, the same one that he called Melchizedek, he said, that same one, with all reverence and fear, he said, has to come right at this time. And he knew he was there. And where was he before? So I was not the one that appeared down there. I was only there when he appeared. Where did the people see the star coming? Out of heaven. Amen. What was the reflection? I'm not going to argue about how up and down this and that. You argue all you want. I'm tired of it. It is Omega time. It is the Omega reflection of 2 Corinthians 3:18. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open mouth. Now where the Lord is, well now the Lord is that spirit. When the veil is taken away, the veil of creeds and dogmas are going to be taken away. They were in Israel's time. And when they were through the sacrifice, they saw the mercy seat in full view. When the creeds and dogmas are taken away, we see Christ in full view. Brother Branham said so. And the mercy, he's our mercy seat. Now the Lord is that spirit. The spirit is his liberty. In other words, you can do what's right now. You're free. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Our change in him is the same inch of glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Tells you right here, looking into a mirror. What do you see? You don't see yourself at all. You see the glory of God. What is the glory of God? A bride. You see a bride member standing there. You see Jesus. Now you see the mystery of the inheritance of the saints. You see yourself a walking temple of Almighty God. See? Sealed in through the Holy Spirit. These virtues being born into you. You can't produce those virtues in 1 Peter. They're born into you. You're producing, you've got the wrong virtue. What do you think rebirth is? Inside out and upside down. The whole thing's changed. You don't come with one thing. Except that thing changed. There's your metamorphosis. There's your transfiguration. See, we're into that period now. 1 John 3:2. It has never yet come into existence, we shall be. But we know we should be like him when we'll see him as he is. Well, no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And at the end time, you got a wrong God entirely. You got a wrong Jesus entirely. You got a wrong gospel entirely. What have you got right? Nothing. Unless he does something about it. That's why he speaks in Hebrews 12. And I'm going to tell you what. He died. He's got the right to speak. He was marred. And the bride was marred. And she comes back to him. Now she's got the right to speak. That's where the Spirit and the bride can say, come. See? Now, you got to come out of all this dirt, of all these creeds, denominations, everything else.
And don't get mixed up with anything or anybody that's into that kind of stuff. You'll regret the date. You better make sure you have an understanding. All right. It's Revelation 10, 1 to 7 time. Why? Because it's got to run out. That mighty angel's got to come down. What is that? That's a spirit coming down. How does he come down? In the pillar of fire. How does he manifest? Through a prophet. Amen. Revelation 10 and 7 is William Branham. This great, wonderful Bible teacher from Chicago tries to tell us it's somebody else. Yeah, Brother James Mayfield talked about that fella taking his family in tow. Well, what's he ever produced? Nothing except a lot of lies. He's not produced anything. Written letters for money, everything else. I can tell you one thing. You start putting a lot of letters out, you don't belong to this company. Amen. Amen. Let's see where discerning the spirits is. Oh, I know you're like everybody else. I'm like everybody. You look around, you say, oh, this guy, this guy. Watch what he's really trying to do. Is he pointing to himself or trying to point for something to the kingdom? That's why Jesus kept his mouth shut until he was married. Then he opened his mouth. Amen. Bride's got to be married. Man come along and say, Brother Branham's wrong. I'm not married. Fat, you ain't married. You're marred worse than ever. You're tarred. Show that you are. Don't come around me. Yeah. All right. Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. Which you read to you already? Is a part of Revelation 1, 10, 1, Revelation 10, 1 to 7. And that is the great finished masterpiece. At that time, which he's taken up. Because she's Zion. Oh, she's here on earth. Everyone's going to come out of the grave. In that New Testament bride, every single one. Every single person living is going to be changed. Everyone's gone through the marring. Everyone's gone through the recreation. Everyone's in his glory. Everyone is an original sitting there in the mind of Almighty God. Everyone word like he is. There's the great Father. You tell me that pillar of fire is not going to be here to take us up to the incarnation. Oh, brother, I wouldn't believe for 1 minute he'd leave us here. If I'm going to be bright, I'll make sure he doesn't get away. That's true. Why? That's what the bride does. She follows. You think she gets the glimpse? Then going to let that one get away? Oh, there's another one come down the road. Oh, there's another coming down the road. Oh, yeah, this Branham. We've had lots before him. There's another one down the road. He's been dead 19 years, 3 more years, and you know, come on, come on, come on. There's somebody else. No, he ain't. Forget it. No, this is it. Here's your masterpiece. Just at Jordan's edge, ready to cross over. Here's your masterpiece. God, with his own elect, ready to take them up to meet the Christ, the God in the human form that was married for us, that gave him the authority to speak, to call us out of the graves, to bring us back to the fold, to put us in position, to allow us to reflect his glory, to know we're part of that word, to pick up our theophany, all of those things, the Father and his family are together, the builder and maker, with that which he has builded. Yep. All here right now. Part of it's here right now, ready to be transformed. That's the listening bride. She's waiting to hear, to see the dead come out of the ground, all chains be taken away. Our author, our maker, our creator, our husband, all here today. Yes, sir. Our judge pronounced us free. Our king. Brother Brand said the king is here. Not just in your hearts. No, I don't believe just that. I believe it's different. Notice how beautiful it really is as we conclude again by going back to Revelation.
We go to 21 chapter. Beginning, I saw a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, there's no more sea. That's it. The first heavens and the first earth, as we know them, were completely dissolved, the same as our bodies are, back to gases. Then recreated. The proper valence, that means an attraction within the atoms, or molecules, I guess it is, molecules, or little doohickeys within the atoms, or what's an atom, it's more than a molecule? Okay, then within the atoms are little doohickeys, ions, or protons, or neutrons, or what are they? Electrons, well, whatever they are, there's zillions for all I know in there. You know what? They've got to have a proper valence. In everything, or they don't add, minerals especially. If they don't, some are without an attraction, a cohesion, but that's where your valence comes in. Then there's a weight. Chemistry is made up of that. And the great chemist, he sits on the circle of the earth, and he weighs everything in his balances. God's scale has measured every bit of the gases that you'll go down to if you die. And he's got every single gas out there. And by valence, and by the mark of the Holy Ghost, he just brings them into his scale. Oh, brother, sister. And you see why I got upset when they stopped me preaching. The glory of God. I'll stop one day. By the grace of God, I'll stop. Maybe on my own accord, or his accord, or something. He'll know how to stop it. But I tell you, these things are real, my brother, my sister. First earth, first heaven, no more sea. Who needs it? No room for it. Who needs waters? They're types anyway. Away from types. Everything back to original. Just a river flowing. That's all we need. I suppose it spreads through the whole earth. I don't know. I'll leave that to God. I'm not prepared to take a gamble. Not much to think things out unless they're in the scripture. Now John saw Holy City, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, and him prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And heard a voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he'll dwell with them, and they'll be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now he can't do it then if he's not doing it now. Because he's the same yesterday, day, and forever. He doesn't change what he does and how he does it. You wipe away all tears in your eyes. No more sorrow, no death. No crying, no pain. The former things are gone. Finished. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He said, write these things. These words are true and faithful. They've been true so far. They're true now. It's done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'll give him to the thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. I'll be his God. He'll be my son. The Lamb said, let me show you the bride. The angel said, let me show you the bride. Saw her coming down as a city, a people city, full foundations. Saw exactly what she was. Now listen, I'm going to close with this, Revelation 22. The 10th verse, he says, seal not the sayings of the prophet's book, for the time is at hand. Don't seal up anything Brother Branham said about that bride. Don't seal up that vision of the bride. Don't you go away saying it's all over, this, that, and the other thing. There's a bride going to come right back to original, brother, sister. She's going to be standing right here in this earth ready for a transformation. And that seven church age bride, though she's in the biggest mess of all history and all ages, the seven church age, the rock and roll witch, the scum of the universes. She's in Laodicea, but she's not part of her. Just like Brother Branham said, that was supposed to be my mother and father, though it weren't. I was born into that mess. Don't seal up the prophecies. The time's at hand. He's just, let him be unjust. Filthy, filthy. Righteous, righteous. Holy, holy. I'm coming quickly. Now the one that came down is already here to get a bride away. What coming is he talking about? The part of the seventh seal that's going to be in flesh. The part of the seventh seal, Revelation 1, 10 rather, 1 to 7, which is Revelation 1 and 12 and Revelation 5 and 1. I think it's Revelation 1 and 12. I never can remember exactly.
Brother Branham called him. I'm just calling the same thing. That's the one right there. You see, yep. I turned to see one. To see that one. Okay, here in the form of the Spirit. He had to come to bring the bride back to original. There's an original bride here, brother, sister. I don't care what anybody says. They're ready for their change. Now listen. What's it say about 18, 19 verse? For I testify unto you, every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. You can't hear this prophecy's book, brother, until the messenger comes and opens it, because it's closed. I don't care what you thought you heard, or what you saw it wrong, you heard it wrong, because all you can do is look through the lattice. You could see a shadow, but you couldn't see the reality. He said, I'm telling you, you hear the words from Hebrews 12 now, putting this bride back, because that's what the masterpiece was all about, getting that bride together. Because that's the masterpiece of God. God, the Son, the bride. In the setting and the surrounding. Perfect according to what God had in mind. He did it. That's why all heaven breaks loose with screaming and crying over, or as I preached down there at Memphis, over the doctrine of sovereignty, predestination. Men can't stand it. They hate it. That's where this message took off and went haywire. That's where people always rise up. They're always going to, when they don't see that, they don't see anything. Listen, it's hard to see. You bet it is. Because it's exactly opposite to what we do. Oh, yeah. We'd go so far and then chicken out. God doesn't chicken. He's an eagle. You know what eagles do? They bat chickens over the head. They get rid of the chickens. Nothing against chickens, per se. They make awful good eagle food. I don't mean anything wicked by that either. Just popped out. Shouldn't pop out. He says right here, listen, he said it's all word. Now he said it's back to the word. You talked about hearing from your theophany. If you're not hearing right now, there's something wrong somewhere. You say, what does that mean? Well, it means that you're getting ready to meet it in the air. What have you been lonesome for all these years? To get that spiritual body, that spirit body. Now he said, don't add a word, or God will add the plagues. Don't take a word, or God will take your part of the holy city. Why? Because you're back to word. There's no more marring. The marring's over. There's a masterpiece. And people look around and they say, well, you know, I really believe that if there's anything in this age that's the worst of all, that they're taking a look at us. That's fine, we came out of the dirt. They look around, they see the dirt, and they say there's nothing nicer. There's a thing that Jim spoke about, the great love precept. The great let's get together precept. I get a letter from the ministerial assassination over here in Bellefonte. Of course I'm not going to go. First thing they do is run me off, open my mouth. Or they want me to go counsel somebody. I'm going to counsel nobody. They think I'm a terrible person. I'm a terrible person. I have no problem there. I would argue. But I don't think they're lily white. I think they've fallen for the serpent and his seed. I think they're emissaries of the enemy. I believe they belong to the other church. Like as I said last Wednesday. If Jesus Christ is outside the church trying to get back in, what is inside the church today seeing he can't get back in? I don't want to get back in. I just assume, look at it, if I'm going to be outside of him, really, I don't want to be inside of them. I just soon be outside of everybody. Well, I couldn't miss the devil, he'd get me anyway. I'm just letting you know, if I had my druthers, I'd sooner have that. I'm not interested. And being there's your masterpiece. The masterpiece is in progress. And I believe Brother Branham liked it in his favorite sermon because he knew he had a great deal to do with it. He had a great deal to do with screaming, get in step. Of bringing the word, the descended, by the prophet's spirit. The prophet spoke face to face with Elohim, which hasn't been done for 2,000 years since the time of Paul, but is now here again. The one revealing the word that brought it. But not just that. That's not the point. They forget that Brother Branham said when he even began to open the book and show the seals. It was a book of redemption. And the one that came down in the Garden of Eden, that same one is here now to close it off. Don't they understand? Before, his relationship was not the same as it is now. It was only potential. Because Brother Branham said you Lutherans potentially had the Holy Ghost. You Methodists potentially had the Holy Ghost. You Pentecostals potentially had the Holy Ghost. Has potential arrived or hasn't it? Then potential is present. And there's no longer potential. He is here. He is present. Or the prophet lied. Then tell me, what's going on? The preview of a bride getting out of here. The great masterpiece. Do you understand what I'm saying? What God had in his mind that he put into a form of flesh and government and creation out here. The whole thing is coming back to what it was. And that, on its pedestal, on its base, is the masterpiece of God. And the Lamb will be on the throne above the whole city of gold and of golden people of God, the sons. And the great majority out there that are pure and washed, never to be defiled in their own order, their own ranks. And before anybody calls, he answers. There is no need. There is a masterpiece. Can you envision that? You and I have had, listen, why are we such a mess today? Because we had to contrive and connive and to inveigle somebody, to get ahead of somebody, to shove somebody, to lie a little bit, to do this, to do that, to get something. We really didn't have to, but we did because it lay in there. But you're coming to a masterpiece where it'll just flow. You won't have to beg, bum, borrow, steal, make claims, pervert, or anything else. You won't have to keep things by falsifying or get things by falsifying. You won't have any of that anymore. Nothing, nothing. It's going to be a masterpiece. And that freedom started already with the Holy Ghost now, getting us out of the creeds and dogmas and the whole thing to get us away. Listen, it is not this side of the resurrection, my brother, sister. It is the other side. But remember, Brother Branham had a part. Because in his ministry, time and eternity came together. Therefore, mortality and immortality came together. See? Materiality is speeding up. Not slowing down, but it's only in a bride. To take on the perfection, the masterpiece. And he was privileged to stand there and look at it. And he said, because of what I saw and I can relate, this is my masterpiece. And he said, you Pentecostal, why don't you believe the sovereignty of God? Why don't you understand what God is doing? You're looking and claiming a portion in the masterpiece. But you don't know your inheritance and Christ's inheritance in you. You don't know. Because you're not a part of it. To have representation now, you had to be back there. And they cannot take that. Cannot take it. But somebody can. That's right. Heavenly Father, we look to you again now as we go our ways, which we thank you gave us strength to be together and the comfort of the joy of the Lord to have fellowship together and harmony in thee, Lord. And we know this, Brother Branham said there's a bride out there somewhere. If we are not, by the grace of God, help us, Lord, not to stand in her way. And Lord, let us come to the place now where we don't stand in our way, anybody else's way, regardless. Begin to motivate our lives more on the grounds of sovereignty, which is the ability to know that though we are not sovereign in ourselves, we know that one is, and therefore have the ability to stand back and let him who is sovereign now become our judge and become our advocate, become our pledge, become our all. Father, help us to give ourselves to you as never before. Grant blessing now, Lord God, to each one of us as we need your blessing. Guide us and direct us. In paths rising for thy name's sake, may we, Lord, speedily come to that day of the true delivery of the expression of God in a bride. And we're speaking, Lord, if we do not go in a rapture to get out of here one by one soon physically and be delivered into thy presence, Lord, which will have to be a matter of grace because There wouldn't be any other way to place it in the Scripture. And there'd be no way we could provide it. But since it is eternal grace and eternal things, Lord, have to be revealed, and we know that we're forgiven for not knowing too much about it, except we know it is there. But if you could condescend to not make us prophets, we don't want that. But to open the door a little way so we might touch on it, and we'd be happy. But if not, we're going to leave it in your hands, because that's good enough for us. You have it. You said it. You're doing it. And we're grateful, because we know that we would not be touched at this point if we were not a part of that which is going to be carried over, that great river of life that was seen flowing from the eastern gate in Ezekiel's vision, the same one who saw him high and lifted up, who saw him there amongst the cherubim. Yes, who saw him there, the similitude of a man. So do we. We're grateful, Lord. Very, very grateful. We can't appraise him. Keep us ever in these realms. There's no realm worth anything else. And unto the King eternal and born of Israel, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. No service on Wednesday, of course, because we're having Saturday foot washing, Lord willing. It's always a matter of what happens. Hope remains within the human breast. But oftentimes hope is what you want instead of what you're going to get. So I don't know how I'm going to be or anything else, except I'm looking to the Lord for help to get out of these doldrums I'm in, one way or the other.